The Ira Kaufman Podcast and all of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com is presented by Bill Curry Ford, since 1960, family-owned, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, BillCurryFord.com. And Florida's Elite Restoration. You've got to know that name, Florida's Elite Restoration. 5-star Google reviews across the board. Check them out. Do your homework. So, if you've got water damage, mold, fire damage, flood damage, just a horrible leak situation you want checked out, whatever it is that is damaged to your home, you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. They'll get out there and give you a free inspection with the best technology, expert technicians. They have worked on the insurance side of the business for years, so they know all the ins and outs to make sure you don't get ripped off by your insurance company, which happens way too often in these situations. Do your homework. Florida'sElitereStoration.com is the website. When you call them, mention you heard about them from Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman, and you will get $500 back if after you get your evaluation and inspection, if you sign on with their services. It's a tremendous offer. There's no catch to it. Owner Josh Martin, great guy, big Bucks fan. They cover the entire Tampa Bay area across the state as well. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right, special episode today. A couple things going on. One, we got some fireworks. And, you know, some fans don't like that, but a lot of fans love when Ira and Lee get into a little bit of a spat, get a little heated with their Bucks passion. And that happens in this episode a little bit later on. We've also got Sean Sullivan, the draft guru from our website at JoeBucksFan.com. He's also the GM at Bill Curry Ford. He checks in for a little while, and we really get into the state of the Buccaneers and the trade deadline and you know, evaluating this team where it is right now. Lots to get into here, and we hope you enjoy it. So let's get right to the sage. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman. A little bye weekend rest, and he is raring to go.
It's my anniversary week, Steve.
Nice. Congratulations. 42.
44, Lee.
44.
44 years. Same woman. She's a saint, Lee. She's a freaking saint. And yeah, you guys have met her. She's a saint.
Yeah, absolutely. A saint. Congratulations. You have your...
what she puts up with, Lee, on a daily basis. It's unbelievable.
Never any roast beef in the fridge when she wants some. Not never. Well, congratulations. What's the big day, Ira?
Saturday.
All right. So that's Saturday. The sage of Tampa Bay sports. We'll talk to you before that. Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer. Lee DeCamper's here of JoeBucksFan.com. I'm here. Steve Isbitz, JoeBucksFan.com. If you didn't listen to Todd Bowles on the Ira Kaufman podcast, check it out. It's on all the podcast platforms at JoeBucksFan.com. That was the last episode. We're going to touch on some of his points today. We'll also check in very soon with our friend John Sullivan, our draft guru, also the general manager at Bill Curry Ford. We'll hear about some of the really cool things that are going on here at the dealership, as well as get his thoughts on where the Bucks are, the state of this bye week.
He makes some sharp comments, Steve. He's got some sharp comments.
He's got plenty to say. So
and
look,
me and Lee go at it. So it's another great podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast.
Well, yeah, we recorded with Sean like 20 minutes ago. So Ira's ready for fireworks here. We went to the red. Sage, one question before we get to Sean. And this is serious business. We talked all offseason. Number one X factor for the Bucks, no question, hands down, Josh Grizzard. Can he handle this job? Will he be ready to be like Liam Cohen was? And here we are. Offense sputtering last 2 weeks. Plenty of injuries. The running game's gone to crap. They are now 28th in the National Football League in yards per carry. 28th. That's not good, especially when
last year they were spectacular.
Yeah, especially when Mayfield has had a very efficient running game so far.
That's right. That's right.
Now, he hasn't run the last 2 weeks. He's probably hurt.
Without him, they might be down to 3.0, something like that.
I don't know. Yeah. But it's not been good. He's had a week to collect himself, plenty of time to study. What do you expect from Grizzard going forward? Do you think he has the chops to pull this off? What he needs to do to get this team back on track offensively against three excellent teams and then crank it up toward the postseason?
Lee, I hope this chance for self-scouting during the past week helps Grizzard realize that he needs to be more creative. Maybe move Mayfield around. I think he's facing too much pressure the last couple of weeks. Now, look, Aiden Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But the Saints don't have Aiden Hutchinson, and I didn't like the pass protection either. Is he hampered by the right side of the offensive line? Yeah, it hurts. Not having Bucky Irving, it hurts. Not having Mike Evans, Lee, that's one of your big points. It hurts, but He's got to step his game up, Lee. Just like anybody else, the coaches have to step their game up. I want to see more imagination from Guzard and starting right now with New England coming in.
I don't disagree with you, Ira, at all. I want to see Tristan Wirfs and Graham Barton look more like themselves. It's really concerned me. I love Tristan Wirfs. So
What'd you see, Lee?
I saw Tristan Wirfs getting beat badly by a guy from Washington.
Chase Young.
Yeah, Chase Young. I saw Graham Barton getting blown up by bull rushes. One time he almost fell over on his back.
At the goal line?
Well, overall, I saw that. I saw him getting no push at all on the goal line. I mean, none. Wirfs, for a couple weeks there, looked like his dominant self. Up in Seattle, the Bucks are running behind him. He's blowing everybody up. He's the proverbial road grader. And all of a sudden, I don't know if Detroit exposed something with those guys, but the Saints doing that, of all people, the
he
Saints,
could be a little hobbled, Lee. Could be.
He could be. He could be. It was alarming to see
Wirfs
look normal, like a pedestrian.
You know, we set the standard so high, Steve, for Tristan Wirfs, and he doesn't mind it. He embraces that. I mean, we're talking about an all-pro here. There's only two all-pro tackles, and he's one of them, you know, several times.
Only guy ever, left and right.
Left and right. So,
you know, Lee wrote up something earlier, might have been, well, whatever, recently, with Wirfs being on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, talking about how he wasn't able to work out in the same way when he had his bad knee, which makes sense. He had surgery in first week in July. So maybe we're seeing the effects of some of that. Sage, before we get Sean in here, wanted to ask you one thing, just to put your head on this early. The weather forecast for Sunday, the game's going to be in the low 80s and humid. Not your typical November day here for the Patriots, and it's been very cold up north. Are we going to see the Bucs have a home field advantage from that standpoint, or are we going to say, for you know, what's going to happen there? Because that's a big deal.
What I'm afraid to say, Lee, is there might be 25,000 New England fans in the crowd. So anything they gain from 83 degrees is negated by the support that the visitors are getting. I don't see the weather being a factor against New England in this game. I don't see it.
The only time I've ever seen the Bucs have a home field advantage since the SAP days, the only time I've ever seen them have an advantage, a home field weather advantage, is when a garbage team would come in from the north, like the Bears. I saw them just, and then the Lions one time. That's the only time I've ever seen a team from the north come in here and wilt under the heat. Good teams, they don't have a problem for whatever reason. But the bad teams, yeah. New England's not a bad team, so yeah. I say no.
Yeah, we saw it last year with the Eagles when they fell apart, but this year they kind of conquered that. So when they beat the Bucs in Tampa. So, all right, let's get them right in here. JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan, host of the Best in Class podcast, our year-round draft guy who was at the Combine this past year, patrolling the halls, talking to all kinds of players and executives. Sean, welcome. We're going to talk a little Bucs. We got plenty to get to here, Ira. What do we need to know about Bill Curry Ford for November? What's going on?
Right now, we have Veterans Day going on. You know, it's November 11th. We're big in support of our military and first responders at Bill Curry Ford. We've had the first responder accounts for over 45 years at Bill Curry Ford. As you know, we're a 65-year-old family-owned business.
And what does that mean? What's a first responder account?
First responders, so TPD, Hillsborough County Sheriffs, those are first responders, but then there's a sub underneath the sheriffs, which everyone understands, and then there's...
So you're responsible for all their vehicles?
We do fire, rescue, SWAT.
Awesome.
Every single person that works with the city and the county to support our community, to keep them safe, we help keep those guys on the road. One of the proudest moments I've ever had in the last 30 years... and being in the car business was during COVID, we were picked to keep the first responders on the road during COVID. As you know, there was many businesses that were shut down, and we kept the ambulances going. We kept the fire trucks going. I mean, it was a very odd time in our history. Well, during that time, we kept everything on the road, making sure that people got medical attention. We had guys here working night shifts, morning shifts to make sure that those vehicles. And I take great pride in the fact that we were chosen to do that. They could have chosen anybody. They chose us to keep these people on the road.
Yeah, that's why I asked you, because it's a huge responsibility.
It is.
And I think it's really cool.
It is really cool. And again, we've had Jane Castor's been very supportive of obviously Bill Curry Ford, and Chad Cronister is obviously been very supportive of on the county side. Right now we are opening the new Ford Pro Elite, which part of that new service center will involve new accounts that we have now for first responders. We've actually gotten more accounts recently for like the larger vehicles that we're going to be working on at the new Ford Pro Elite. So I'm very excited about that. For veterans, because of our partnership with MacDill Air Force Base, we really, and we've had a partnership with them probably since the 1960s, but I'd have to go back and do some research. And the soldiers do an amazing job. Their families do an amazing job. One of the proudest moments I had was Jennifer and I, last year, we got to pack Thanksgiving lunches for the troops' wives and spouses that were, you know, behind while they're overseas. And we were able to make sure that them, like their families, had food for Thanksgiving. And we were able to, basically at MacDill, they just have lines of cars, and you just basically fill the cars full of food. And it's just, I tell you what, there's few things that make you feel as good as you do in that moment for that. But November 11th for Veterans Day, we have a Veterans Wall going up as we speak, because, you know, obviously we're at the Curry Podcast Room at Bill Curry Ford. But downstairs when you leave, if you look to the right, behind me in that wall is a Veterans Wall, and it's going to have pictures of all the men and women that served over the years at Bill Curry Ford. So I'm happy about that. We're going to be doubling the incentives from Ford Motor Company for any first responders, active, and for military personnel retired as well. So whatever Ford puts out, not only am I going to match it, obviously, I'm going to double it. And that's going to come out of our side. And we're going to do that because of how much we care about our community. Again, it's a third generation now moving on a fourth generation family-owned business, where the continuation of the morals and values and ethics that the family started with, it still continues through this new generation.
Yeah, that's awesome. BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com, and we'll look for the Veterans Wall. I know you've got hundreds of employees here.
Hundreds, yes. And Steve, I want to say one more thing. For those families that are directly affected by the government close right now and that are not getting paid, we are offering to have them trade in their vehicles right now so they don't have a car payment, and I'm going to extend their car payment for 6 months. 6 months.
Nice.
I will make sure that they don't have a car payment. I think we have an obligation not just to sell cars and service cars, but we have an obligation to our community and how the dealer body was set up to be a part of the community and actually embrace the people that live here. And you know personally how I feel about Tampa and the people that live in it.
And everybody who listens to your Best in Class podcast, focusing on the rookies and young players, knows as well. We'll be looking for the latest episodes. Sean, always good to know what's going on here at Bill Curry Ford. And I know all this stuff makes Ira feel proud.
Sean's got a great staff. I invite everybody to come in and just check it out. Where else can you go and talk to the general manager of a place? I don't care if you want to talk about bucks or you want to talk about a 150. Sean's available, and he'll make time for you.
All right, Sage. So here the Buccaneers sit. Here we are.
They're sitting pretty, in my view. That's where they're sitting.
Sitting very pretty, but that's what I wanted to ask you a little bit about here with Sean Sullivan and Lee. We're in an important spot here because what we watched this weekend was we watched New England go to 7-2. We watched the Rams just completely obliterate a team that the Bucs couldn't really move the ball on, the Saints. And so the Rams are up there. But we watched the Lions lose to drop to 5-3. And
you watched the Packers lose.
We watched the Packers fall off, but now Carolina's 5-4. And it's hard to say that they're not legitimate. They're going to hang in there. And our next three, and of course, Buffalo, who we have in 2 weeks, got the job done against Kansas City, something that they've struggled with in the postseason.
This is a very, very difficult three-week stretch. I mean, let's be honest about it. Two of the games are road games. I know the Bucs are 4-1 on the road, but this is Buffalo and the Rams
on
the road.
So here we are, Ira, 6-2, New England at home, Buffalo on the road, Rams on the road on Sunday night. What do you think the Bucs have to do to get over this hurdle? Now, I don't know if you're one of these guys who's okay with just one win out of these three.
I'm not. I don't think a sweep is realistic.
So where are we? What do we need to do? Do we need to trade for somebody? What's the focus? What do we got to do to get over this big hurdle?
Well, I think two out of three would be very nice because 8-3 looks very good with the schedule weakening after that point. But they need help. We got Sean Sullivan on here, and Sean, I know you're not surprised about it because every team's like it, but the Bucs are being extremely vague about some of these injuries. We don't know what's going on with Bucky Irvin. We don't know what's going on with Chris Godwin. We don't know what's going on with Luke Goedeke. McMillan, I'm not that worried about. If he comes back, he comes back. It's a bonus. But
you didn't mention Mike Evans.
I think Mike Evans will be back.
If you look at the data, when Mike Evans is starting for the Buccaneers, versus when he's not starting for the Buccaneers. Not just our win-loss record. I'm talking about the entire offense. As much as, you know, we talk about it, the offense runs through Mike Evans. Whether he's catching 100 balls or not, it's still a distraction for the defense. They're still having to cover him with a one-high safety, like over the top on like a corner up underneath. They're, you know, you have to know where he is at all times because he's a game-changing first-ballot Hall of Fame player. The offense completely changes. I thought it was more of Bucky Irving, you know, missing, but then when you're actually looking at it, it's not. I mean, not that I don't want Bucky Irving out there running the ball, don't get me wrong, but Mike Evans is the catalyst. We need his leadership. We need him on the field.
I don't think we should underestimate the impact of Irving's absence. I don't.
I'm just saying between the two that Evans has proven to be the catalyst for the offense of the Buccaneers.
Well, he's not close to coming back right now.
No. So what do we got to do, Ira? That's the question. I don't want to hear one, two wins would be nice. What do we got
to
do?
I just hope to get him back for the playoffs. That's all I'm hoping is please, Mike, if you're listening to the podcast, which I know you do, please come back for the playoffs.
I think I'd get an offensive lineman, Sean, to play the right side of the line. Heck, they got to help him.
He had his best game against the Saints, right? Does that mean he's getting better?
I didn't like the pass protection against the Saints, Sean. I didn't like Bucks.
But you're not worried about Tristan Wirfs. You're not going to replace Tristan Wirfs.
No,
you know,
of course not.
He's not going to be benched. Sean, can't they get a right guard? I mean, for a fifth-round draft pick?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought this up. I'm the draft guy, right? So I love the draft. I don't think anybody will argue the fact that I spend a lot of time on the draft. Right? I don't think anybody's going to argue that. So here's the thing. A fifth-round pick right now for Jason Light is a starting player named Elijah Roberts. We trade that pick away. You don't have a starting DT, which I think has a lot of pass rush potential. There, the way Jason Light uses these draft picks, like in the past, you're like, Sean, it's just a fifth or a sixth or seventh. We got a seventh-round pick right now in Tez Johnson that looks like a future star. I want to make the trades. Let me just start there. I do want to improve the team because I feel like with the way Baker's playing, when he's healthy, because we both know he's hurt right now, when he's healthy, this is a very, very dangerous team. Let's just say we lose all three of those games in that gauntlet, and then we win the next six. You're looking at a 12-win season, right? Going into the playoffs.
That's right.
That's a big deal. 12 wins is a big deal. You're going to win your division. That's a big deal. You're going to have a home playoff game. That's a big deal, right? And then whatever happens, happens from there. I don't want to trade away our future to get a Hendrickson. Like, we don't know what it's going to cost. We know he's now available for Cincinnati. What kind of difference can he make in a six- or seven-game stretch or even going into the playoffs? We don't know. Several teams last year traded for players at the deadline that didn't actually impact their teams at all. They screwed up their salary cap situation, plus they gave away draft picks. I think for me, it would have to be somebody really, really special to trade and not just be a six-game guy or a seven-game guy.
But, Sean, aren't you surprised every year at the trade deadline when – three or four guys get moved, and you say to Steve Lee and myself, that's all they could get for that guy? That's all they could get? So if it's a salary dump for another team, you got to take advantage of that. You got to take advantage because you're 6-2.
Hold on, Sean. Lee, what do the Bucks have to do here to talking about getting over this giant hurdle and not losing the next three games?
Make some deals. I agree with you, Sean, in principle. And I generally lean toward what you're saying, Sean. Someone had a very salient point on JoeBucksFan.com this morning.
Is that an SAT word?
Yeah, salient. Look at that. Salient. I know how to spell it, too.
S-A-L-I-E-N-T.
There you go.
A good player in the draft next year is not going to help you win a Super Bowl this year.
That's true. But are we one or two good players on the trade away from actually being a Super Bowl team this year?
I think so.
You said they're dangerous.
You said they're dangerous when they're healthy. Right now I have a quarterback with an oblique injury who doesn't look like himself the last two games. You got Amika, who was a star of the NFL, who the last two games has not played well because he's also on injury. There's a lot of factors here. If we don't get Mike Evans back for the playoffs, Bucky Irving's down for the year because I think it's more about his foot than his shoulder. They're saying a shoulder injury, but you can't get the right story on it. We don't have the running game without Bucky to be dangerous against some of these big
teams. You sound
like
you're
Detroit.
Giving up on 2025.
No, I'm not giving up. I just would like an update on some injuries.
No one's going
to
tell you.
That I can get a hold of because you're asking me to give you my opinion when I don't have all the facts.
Well, that's what we do here. We don't always we got to work with what we got.
I want a guy that can help you win in January. That's what I want. I'm not looking at the next 3 weeks.
You're looking at right guard position? on the offensive line?
I'm looking at receiver.
I could take a receiver. I mean, go get somebody.
I'm looking at receiver.
I think Ibuka's going to be fine. You know, health-wise, I think just needed a little extra time. And you know what? There were some missed throws by Mayfield in that last game where
we missed him wide open.
We wouldn't be talking about Ibuka necessarily having an off day.
Plus, he's a marked man now.
Yeah.
Defenses are going after
him. But he was still open, which, you know, a couple of
times. Sean, what about a receiver with the uncertainty about Evans? And he could retire after the season. He could. That's not far-fetched. And we don't know about Godwin. So going forward, aren't they going to need a receiver anyway?
So what I'll do is I'm going to take your side and say, so forget what I said because that's how I really feel, but I'm going to play this game. If I'm looking at any position right now, I'm not trading for a wide receiver with what's out there right now. I feel strongly that Tez Johnson coming after this bye is going to be more incorporated in our offensive playbook. I think he's not a playbook guy. I think going into this, he's going to learn more. They're going to open the offense up more. I think he's spectacular with the ball in his hands. I think he's proven that. I think Amika is a starting one wide receiver on 30 NFL teams. Well, you have Shepard. We just don't know what's going on with Godwin. But for me, we need Bucky Irving back. But if I'm trading for a player right now, I'm going after a tight end. There's two tight ends that are on the trade market right now that I think make an immediate impact in Tampa Bay, not just with our run game, but with our receiving game and our end zone game. I mean, this is not going to be a Kate Otten conversation. I think Kate Otten is a good player. I don't think that he's a difference maker.
Let's
hear
the names. Come on, buddy.
What are the names?
Okay, the Cleveland Browns have absolutely one of my favorite tight ends out of the University of Miami.
Najuku?
Yeah, right. I think he changes our entire offense, and I think Baker and him would be just dynamite. And then you have the Oakland Raiders are not going to keep Brock. They're not going to keep both Bowers and Myers, right?
Mike Myers.
You're not getting Brock Bowers.
No.
But Mike
Myers.
By the
way, he was sensational again yesterday.
Yes,
that guy's sensational.
Yes,
but Myers is available.
Bingo.
You get one of those two guys.
High draft pick, right?
It changes. Well, I think you can get them for.
No, I'm saying he was a high draft
pick. Second round pick, right? Myers.
Yeah, so he's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get one of those guys, it changes our whole offense. It opens us up. It gives us a little bit of different look. Kate Otten can catch the ball. I think he's a little inconsistent. I think his blocking has improved, but he's not stretching the field. You know, he's not getting down there.
That's
and in
right.
the red zone, how has Kate Otten been in the red zone? Has he caught a lot of touchdowns for us? And then if you watch the NFL yesterday, look at how impactful the tight ends were in the red zone yesterday.
Look at Buffalo.
I mean, they were all over it. Yeah. Kincaid had an amazing game. Knox had an amazing game. Sam Porta had an amazing game. Right. Yeah. Tyler Warren for the Colts. Then Brock Bowers probably had the best game of the day by anybody. But if you just look at the impact, we don't.
And
we
Tyler
don't,
Kraft's been big for Green Bay before he got hurt.
That is true.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's an opportunity here to improve that. I think it's easier to get a tight end than it would be a starting wide receiver, just draft pick wise. I think it would be easier for us to get that position.
Has their pass rush in the last two or three games changed your opinion about the priority of getting an edge rusher?
Well, I'm gonna go with Lee on this one. I don't think if we traded for Micah Parsons that he would make an impact on our team as a pass rusher.
Interesting.
I'm going out on this, and I'm just gonna say that it's a scheme. I think it's scheme related. And
hey, well, let me ask you this logically then. Whoever that pass rusher is,
yes,
Micah. Let's say Mike. You said Micah Parsons.
Yep.
If he's pass rushing 59% of the time, that means every time he's out there, he's going to be a lot better than the guy we got now. So how is that not impact? I don't care about the dropbacks. I'm talking about just the actual edge rushing that the man does.
Yeah.
Won't that be far better than what we see from Hassan Reddick?
Yes.
So shouldn't that make a big impact?
To answer your question, yes. I guess I'm looking at it as a productivity point where if he's a 15-sack guy or a 13.5-sack guy, he's going to be a 6.5 guy for the Bucs. And what you're saying is, I'll just take the 6.5, but I think it's what you would have to give up to get a guy to get 6.5 sacks. I guess, in my opinion, I'm frustrated with the way that the way we use JPP, the way we use Shaq Barrett. It was like Todd had confidence in these guys, where he just let them play and rush the passer, and really didn't do a lot messing with their game. Whereas now we've had pass rushers which I think are younger, you know, rookie, second year players, third year players.
Yeah.
Where he's really not incorporated them just to put their hand in the dirt like he did JPP.
Trust him. No, I totally agree.
Right.
I was sitting there nodding his head in agreement. When I said the very same thing, he almost chewed my head off.
But Savoisier Dennis has played better the last 2 weeks. He's got consecutive sacks in consecutive games, which we talked about his pass rushing ability coming from that position. I think Todd, I really do think he prefers to these blitzes to outsmart his opponent versus just putting your hand in the dirt and inflicting your will and violence and force against your team.
Ira, what did you think? Lee, what did you think? Todd Bowles sat here on your podcast last week, and he said that the big time pass rushers, the 17, 18, 19 sacks, 20, those are gone. He said, quote, 7 to 13 is kind of where your edge rusher range is right now, 7 sacks to 13 sacks. Guys are spitting the ball out real fast. What was your overall thought of that? Ira, then Lee, then we'll go to Sean.
Well, I think it's hard to argue with his point that there's not a lot of Myles Garrett's out there. Sean, that's why he's making the money that he is. Micah Parsons, T.J. Watt, who I don't think is having a great year, by the way. Danielle Hunter isn't doing that much. There aren't a lot of Bruce Smiths around. I mean, you know, it's tough to get those guys. Trey Hendrickson, if he is available, and Sean seems to think he is, he's going to command a first-round draft pick.
No, he's not. I think he would.
Somebody would give it to him. Maybe not the Bucks. I don't think Light would do that. But bottom line, I don't think they're going to go out and get a premium pass rusher. I agree with you, Ira.
They're not.
I don't think they're going to do it because I think Bowles figures if I got six guys with between 4 and 8 sacks, that's the way we're going to do things around here. The Shaq Barrett days are over. We don't have them. We don't have JPP. Maybe Diaby can get 10. I think he's got 4 right now. Maybe he can get 10, and that's the way it's going to be. I don't think they're going for a premium pass rusher. I think Bowles figures we can get 50 sacks without one. I think he can. I think he can get 50 sacks without one. The pass rush has looked better, Lee, the last 2 or 3 games.
Better than what?
Well, the defense overall has looked better.
Defense looked fantastic the last couple of weeks. Okay, Steve, you want to know what I thought of Bowles talking about the pass rush. It just reinforced everything I've been saying for years. It's not a priority for him. It just isn't. And, you know, Bowles sitting there like, oh, the days of the 13 sacks are over. Well, go look at the AFC North and tell me that. You got Hendrickson. You've got T.J. Watt. You've got Myles Garrett. They're making a difference. They see the same quarterbacks all the time. They're facing Joe Burrow. They're facing Lamar Jackson.
If sacks weren't a priority, why is he blitzing so much? He's trying to get sacks.
What do you mean?
He's trying to get sacks.
He's not getting them from the edge rush, is he?
Well, but he's getting them.
You need an edge rush. Damn, how many times have I got to say this? If you don't need a freaking edge rush, then why do people give up their left nut for one? Come on, man. But it just reinforced everything I've been saying for years. He does not prioritize an edge rush. Maybe now people will still, okay, well, Lee knows what he's talking about. Lee has an idea what's happening.
Well, like Steve says, though, Sean, if he had an elite edge rusher, he'd use him. He doesn't have one.
In what way?
You're not going to say
in what
Chris
way?
Braswell or Hassan Reddick are
right.
Elite.
So do you think if Todd Bowles went to Jason Light in the offseason and said, I need a pass rusher, that it wouldn't happen? You really think that? You really think that if they sat down in their war meeting, just like this room right here, and they were in the offseason, and Jason's like, hey, chef, what do you need in your kitchen, right? And he says, you know what I really need? Is I need JPP back, right? I need that guy.
But they're drafting low, Sean.
No. Not in the draft. Jason, I need a veteran pass rusher. You don't think it would happen?
Yeah, they thought they had one. His name's Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
He can't play.
To Sean's point, if Bowles walked in the Light's office this morning, like, Jason, I need an edge rusher now. You don't think he'd bring in Hendrickson? You don't think he'd go make a trade for somebody? Of course he would. I totally agree with Sean. I don't know why, Ira, unless Bowles is paying you off, why you think, even though all this evidence is out there, like, oh, Todd cares about an edge rush. How Todd can build an edge rush. Todd can develop these guys. Yeah. Show me the evidence, Todd!
I got the evidence. They won a Super
Chris
Bowl.
Chris Braswell!
They won a Super Bowl with 2 great edge rushers.
Yeah.
And Bowles calling the defense.
What year is it?
So Todd Bowles,
he hasn't had anybody to that level.
5 years he's had a chance to get somebody or develop somebody.
Wait a minute. Is he the guy that's picking the players?
Now it's Jason Light. Todd can do no wrong in your eyes, man.
Who's picking the players, Lee?
Who's not developing the players, Ira?
They're not good enough to develop. They're not good
You're
enough.
You're telling me all the years he's been in the NFL. Okay. Bowles has been a defensive coordinator or head coach.
This
How
goes
many
back
years?
To Kolaftis.
Name
I'm going to go back to
Kolaftis. Edge rusher.
We drafted the wrong guy.
Name one edge rusher. You can't tell me he's been in the league this long, and if he's this astute at developing next Myles Garrett, why he hasn't done that? He can't do it! That's your answer!
Name me an edge rusher that has escaped Bowles' clutches and gone on to another team and developed. Name one!
You don't think you don't think he screws up these guys' heads?
You're blaming him for Chris Braswell?
That's a long
conversation.
Yes, I am!
His job is to develop the SOB. Develop him.
What if the guy's not a good enough player?
That's what a coach is for, Ira. You develop guys. Dang.
See? Right, it doesn't take much to get him going.
No, John. He's passionate about this.
I can't stand bullshit like that. I'm sorry.
This is very passionate. Please calm down. You're sweating.
Pissing me off.
Right. So, listen. Todd Bowles likes to run his 3-4, and he likes the outside linebackers to contain the run, right, which they've done a very good job of. And then he likes to drop him back into throwing lanes when he plays zone, which he's trying to get turnovers with his corners. The corners have done a better job of getting interceptions the past two games. So whatever, like, his scheme is working. It just, I feel like, you know, obviously as a fan, I enjoy watching a pass rush. I enjoy watching guys beat the guy, the left tackle, right tackle. And, you know, get strip sacks. T.J. Watt had a strip sack last night. Speaking of T.J. Watt, you know, where they do change the game. The pass rushers also are what I call a closer, where in the car business we have what's called a closer, which closes you on your financing. And then
I've been called a closer in the Hall of Fame room.
And in football, when you have a three-point lead with 2 minutes left and the defense has the ball, you got a guy that can go in there and shut the game down, and you know they're not going to be able to get in field goal range. Right now, if the game was tied with 2 minutes left and the other team has the ball, I'm not confident that they're not going to get in field goal range. We don't have that guy. You know, we're not giving credit for that Kancey injury has really hurt our defense. He came in as a key guy to get double digit
sacks. I thought he was
going to
have a big year, Sean.
Right,
big year.
As far as that's concerned. I would, getting back to the first point, because Steve's about to cut me off, the linebacker, I would like to see, besides a tight end on the offensive side, I would like to see some linebacker depth added.
Because you think David might retire?
No. This year. Like, I'm not talking about a long-term solution. I would like to see some depth, maybe an off-the-ball linebacker, just in case Dennis gets hurt. I don't like the depth behind Dennis. I don't like the depth behind Levante David. I'd like to see if we're really truly a Super Bowl team. If that's really what we are, then you got to pick up somebody that's a veteran guy, maybe an 8-9 year linebacker off the ball that can just a tackling machine guy that can just go in there and bring some stability to that position.
Has Dennis turned the corner? You think, Sarasi, Dennis?
Two games isn't enough for me. I watched him run around like he didn't know which team he was on for a minute. But I know how complicated these defenses can be. I've never played it, but I can tell it's complicated.
Steve, I have to interject one thing before you take over. On the subject of the trade deadline, we haven't mentioned it. I believe the critical factor, not a critical factor, the critical factor, ownership. Ownership. What if they put the pressure on Jay Light? We think this is a Super Bowl team. Go make a deal. We'll deal with next year when next year comes. Could that happen, Lee?
Yeah, but it could, yes. That doesn't seem to be the Glazers' nature. Am I wrong with that?
We don't know what goes on behind closed doors. They're very enthused about this football team.
Yeah, Sean. They are.
And the 6-2 start has not dampened that enthusiasm.
You know that the Buccaneers have more players that were drafted players than any team in the NFL.
Which is understandable, right? Why Light's so...
And we're 6-2 at the break with these devastating injuries. If you're a Browns fan right now, or you know what I mean, or a Raiders fan, you know, I mean, the Giants fan, the Jets fan, I mean, we've had five consecutive winning seasons of championship.
And you trade them all for a Super Bowl, another Super Bowl.
Yes.
Right? But I think that goes to the broader point of even the Glazers. You brought up ownership, but I still want to get back to the edge
rushers. They're big game hunters, the Glazers.
Well, they believe, and everybody over there believes, and a lot of us probably believe, Baker Mayfield is an MVP caliber quarterback. If you have one of those, you can't just be like, well, you know, we'll get it next year. He may never play this well again. And if you're going to leave him without more receiving help when you know your top two guys are battered and you don't know when they're coming back.
And two key players may retire, Lee.
Yeah.
They may retire.
They got to do something on offense at the trade deadline. Otherwise, if the offense doesn't bring it up to snuff, what are you going to be saying in January? Well, injuries hurt us. Well, you could have gotten another guy, and you were worried about a fourth-round pick.
I completely understand your point of view. It's a time where you have to think, okay, is it more important to have this team winning over the next two more years, three more years, where we have this decade of winning? Which, by the way, for a Bucks fan, where I had 14 straight losing seasons, you know, like...
They're halfway through a decade of winning, Sean. Halfway through.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like you said, do you trade it all for a Super Bowl this year or a chance at winning the Super Bowl? Are we good enough to beat the Eagles and the Lions in their where they are? Are we good enough to beat them?
I think we could be.
Eagles, maybe.
We could be.
Lions.
But I also look at it as look at Vita Vea, right? They drafted Vita Vea. They traded down and got 2 second-round picks and then still took Vita Vea. If you're worried about losing a fourth or fifth-round pick, then trade down and get it in future drafts. You know, it doesn't have to just be gone forever. You know, work the draft. They're good at that. You know, pick
the
it
other
up,
part
pick
of
it.
This
you know,
is
Jason can trade a 3 for 2 4s.
What we didn't consider is next year's draft right now isn't looking too hot, right? As far as we've had a really good few years of drafts.
Overall, you're talking
overall draft. Yeah. Oh, the overall draft. So Jason Light, his job is to look at the overall draft. Okay, is there depth in this draft? Is there going to be a lower, you know, player in the fifth or sixth or seventh round like there has been? And maybe in next year's draft, there isn't. And maybe those picks aren't as valuable to Jason because he's looking at the draft going, okay, there's not a lot of depth right now in next year's draft. There's a couple of guys at the top, but right now, overall, it doesn't look terrific.
Lee, if I knew that for certain that Godwin, Irving, and maybe even Gedeki are going to be back in the next couple of weeks, definitively,
mm-hmm.
not maybe,
mm-hmm.
then maybe I don't make a deal.
Absolutely. I wrote this last week. Light has to have some direction. Like, I don't know, definitive is maybe a little too strong, but a darn good idea, like you're saying. And, of course, he would have that information. We won't. When will Getke be ready? When will Godwin be ready? And based on that information, then, you know, you forge ahead and go trade for someone that will play the rest of the year for you. Real quick, Ira, you said this, and I want your feedback on this. You know, you had said that the Glazers are big game hunters. I always loved how Steve Dumig said it, late, great Steve Dumig. He said, the Glazers like splash.
They sure do. I think they're very high on this team, Sean.
Here, I got one thing to say about that. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. If Jason Light does nothing at the trade deadline, does that mean that we're confident that the players that you just discussed, that he feels good about them coming back this year and contributing at a high level? Is that what that's telling us by him not doing anything?
The high level is the key. The high level is the key. Not just coming back, but can Gedeki be the player was supposed to be entering the season?
I'd like to think that, but there's also the possibility, Lee, that he's very reluctant to give up draft picks.
Well, to that point, the other reason, you know, Sean said is, you know, if he doesn't make a move is because he expects those guys to play at a high level. That's part of it. The other part is, are other teams trying to shake Light down? You know, Light's not exactly in a bargaining position here. You know, it's like, if I got a brand new truck, why would I pay top dollar for another new truck?
You're going to pay top dollar at the trade deadline. I mean, that's how it works. The other team wouldn't trade the player if it wasn't going to benefit them because their team sucks.
But, Steve, guys get traded all the time, and your first reaction is, that's all they could get for that guy?
No kidding. No kidding.
It happens all the time. Yep.
Jason Light needs to ask for the Ira Kaufman discount like you get at Bill Curry Ford.
Very true.
All right, well, we're going to let go of Sean. He's got actual business to attend to.
Work to do.
Screaming about football all day. Sean, it's been great to have you sitting in here. We love your passion. We love your Best in Class podcast, and I'll let you give you a final thought.
That's really kind of you. First of all, I'm looking forward to the rest of Baker's season. Like you said, I think it's an MVP season the way he's playing. I hope this oblique is healed up over the
That's
course.
That's a funky injury, Sean.
It is, and you can see his windup. He doesn't have his normal windup when he's throwing the ball. As you noticed, when he was throwing the ball high, like when they were penetrating in his throwing lanes, and he was throwing it up over. And he wasn't getting anything on the ball, and you're just like, okay, he's got to be so perfect.
And he's not running.
So, I hope everything's well with him because it's a pleasure to watch that guy play football. It's an absolute – that guy is Tampa. Like, in my opinion, he might as well have been born a stone's throw from Tampa General, just like I tell everybody. That guy is Tampa.
I wrote he has a chance to supplant the All-Star as the most popular player in Buck history. I think that's reasonable, depending on the next two,
okay,
3 years.
Mike is a dear friend. That's not going to happen, right?
He's got a long way to go.
Steve, quickly. Sean, the next 3 weeks, would you take two wins out of those three?
Absolutely. Two.
Would you take one?
Do I have a choice if they only win one game? Yeah, yes, I would take one because I think the next six are a cakewalk.
You would take a 1-2 over the next 3 weeks?
First of all, who am I getting back? What team am I playing with? Am I playing with Heckett at right tackle and Fryer at right guard? Whatever his name is.
The Fryer guy, Duck?
I don't know where I got that from.
Irving Fryer.
I have no idea. Irving Fryer. It doesn't matter what his name is. It started with an F. So who's playing the games, right? If I go win 1 out of 3 games with Tez Johnson and Amika as my starting wide receivers and Sterling Shepard and with a makeshift offensive line again, then I'm like, yes, I'll take it for sure. It's entertaining football. They have been entertaining in every game that I've watched. Even the Detroit Lions game was entertaining. So frustrating, but entertaining.
I don't like that kind of entertainment.
And Steve, that would leave them at 7-4.
All right. Sean's out. We'll keep it rolling here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. You can find
Thanks, Sean. Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys.
You can find Sean at BillCurryFord.com. Just click on the staff button there. You can see his face and shoot him a note. All right. That was fun, as always, checking in with Sean. Got to ask you this, though, Ira. Look, Todd Bowles joked on that podcast we did. He joked about going after Myles Garrett. He joked about it like, hey, that's the big fish. Yeah, let's just trade a couple of he mentioned a couple of backup linebackers as a joke. But you know what? Myles Garrett might be available. We don't know. But let me throw this out to you, and it could be available in the offseason. But just Spotrac did a little breakdown of Myles Garrett. The new team, if he was traded, the new team, the salary cap hit for Myles Garrett for his new team would be $1 million this year.
That's all?
$8.1 million next year. $16.1 million in 2027. $21 million in 2028, and the big hits would come $58 million each in 2029 and 2030.
I don't think one Buck fan in the world cares about 2029.
Exactly.
And how old is he, by the way?
He's 30. He'll be 30 next month.
So he'll be done by the time that $50 million kicks in.
Yeah. You'd be responsible. Your team would be responsible for that cap money, whether he's on the team or not.
Lee, this is easy for me to say. I don't care about the cap money. What I care about is the compensation.
So that's
Myles Garrett is the best in the game, mm-hmm. Lee. He's the best.
So, Ira, just to put that out there, okay, everybody thinks, there's no way they could squeeze him in. Yeah.
I'm not worried about that.
And part two of that is, right now, we know he signed the big contract in March. Right now, he's the fourth highest paid edge rusher already. Aiden Hutchinson got that big deal. TJ Watt's ahead of him. Of course, Max Crosby. So, it all of a sudden, they have to prioritize what they want to do. I could see the Glazers saying, well, look, if that guy's available, let's just swing for the fences, Jason. We're not going to hold it against you. Let's go for it.
Now it depends what they're asking for.
Sure. Right? Like you said, compensation is the key. There's two secondary questions.
I think they got to ask for two number ones, Lee. They got to ask for two number ones.
Probably. There's two secondary questions. One's a question, one's a statement. The one secondary question is, will White be around when that $50 million kicks in? Seriously.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not going to be around, you know, he'll be with the Bucks, what, 15, 20 years? That's a long time. If he's not going to be around, he's like, well, I don't care. I'm going to be sitting on the beach and Key Biscayne or something. That's number one. The other question, it's not a question, it's a statement. How much will the salary cap go up by then? See, that'll be a buffer as well.
He's a guy that's going to make everybody around him better, Steve. Everybody's game gets taken up a notch.
He's going to change every offense that faces the Bucks. And I look at the Garrett thing and of course, by the time people hear this, he may have been traded. They may be listening to this on Wednesday.
I mean, it could be a riot in Cleveland. You get rid of this guy. why would you go to a Browns game?
Well, I look at it as just for the sake of this season, and you could apply this to anybody, but as far as Garrett goes, if the Bucks aren't going to improve the offense, their only shot at a Super Bowl is winning in this thing on defense because they're not going to have enough juice unless they make some miraculous recoveries here. So you know what?
Right now, this is not an elite defense.
If you added Myles Garrett, maybe you could win a Super Bowl on defense with what you have on offense. That's the way I look at it.
He's that good, Lee.
Yeah.
He's that good.
You know, it's only a two-week window, but the last couple weeks, I'm really impressed with the Bucs defense. Now, people say, oh, they didn't shut Detroit down. Well, they helped. At that time, Detroit was averaging 37 points a game at home. and they held him to 24. You held any team to 24, you should be in the ballpark.
Jack Garrett's in purgatory. He's with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
They did great things against Detroit. Look, they held the Eagles to negative yardage for a half.
They got a decent defense, Cleveland, mostly because of Myles Garrett.
I always forget
Denzel
his name.
Ward, he's good.
Oh, yeah. Who's their defensive coordinator that I wanted with the Bucs?
Schwartz?
Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. He's good.
So,
may the Schwartz be with you, Steve.
If you remember,
Mel Brooks.
If you remember from that interview with Bowles, when he was talking about that, I asked him point blank. I said, so you're saying the game has changed and you don't value the edge rush as much? And he said, no. We want, you know.
Were his eyes as big as saucers when he mentioned Myles Garrett by name?
Well, he was joking around. Yeah. He was joking around.
I don't know that he's available, Lee. I don't know that he's available.
No, but what it would cost, it would have to be at least two first-round draft picks. I'm almost thinking that something like that would cost them, because the Bucs aren't going to pick very high.
Right.
These aren't great
draft picks.
So
you're saying plus a player?
I think it might cost them two first-round picks in Kansas or something like that.
Well, I don't think I'd do that. I don't think. I mean,
I love Kansas, but you wonder about his durability.
I think the Bucs are wondering about him.
Yeah, they have to be.
They have to be.
All right, so Ira, what else is on
your mind? I'm not going to pick these three games. I got an unbeaten record on the line here.
No, and later this week you're going to have to pick. Now, New England struggled a bit with the Falcons, who came back late, and this is what I wanted to ask you. So we watched the Lions defense make the Bucs look horrible, and they look like the 2000 Ravens out there, a buzzsaw, and then they go out and lose at home after a bye week to the Vikings, and they're second-rate quarterback.
And Minnesota had been doing nothing. Not nothing.
Yeah. Not much, yeah.
Yeah.
And the
McCarthy's
Saints,
been hurt, too,
the
right?
The Saints yesterday, who gave the Bucs all kinds of fits.
Laid down.
The Rams made them look like a JV team.
Stafford went crazy.
I needed Stafford to get more points in fantasy at the end of that game, but you know what the Rams were doing? They were just running the ball on third down, being merciful, up 34 to 10.
Probably the same thing that Seattle did with Darnold. He had four touchdown passes in the first half.
Wow.
Does that trouble you that the last two Bucs opponents, their defense looked like world beaters against us, and they go out and stink it up the next week?
I'm worried about the Buc offense right now.
I am
now.
Too. I agree.
You know, and Grizzard's going to need all his imagination, and frankly, I don't know how much he has to be determined.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't stepped out and shined the last couple of games.
No.
Especially that goal line fiasco that showed zero imagination, zero creativity. Maybe this week off's really going to perk up Mayfield because I'm a little concerned about him, too.
I agree with you, Ira. That offense is making me wonder. It's making me wonder. Now, Steve always brings up how the Bucs stink without Mike Evans. You know what? 31 other teams don't have Mike Evans either. Figure it out. That's number one. Number two, we know Bowles wants to run the ball. That didn't bother me that much. Grizzard wants to run the ball, so he says. I think maybe that's from orders from above. However, I read something about the Patriots. Like, I don't think they've let a 50-yard runner up this year.
50?
Or like, yeah, like, or maybe seven games, something crazy. That, like, seven or eight games in a row, they've not had a running back gain 70 yards or 50 yards against them. And so, you know, hey, it's great if you want to run the ball, but let's be productive about it. You know, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't know. I've never asked anybody with the Bucs, so I don't know. Is Josh Grizzard good at developing a run game? We know Cone was.
Well, it looks a lot better when number seven's in the game.
Yeah,
no question about
it certainly does.
When number seven was in the game this year, Ira, he averaged 3.3 yards a carry and was seven carries for 0 yards in the red zone.
But he did have that breakaway ability that Rashad White does not. You're
schemed him up to 3.3 yards a carry.
They're out of balance now, Steve. The offense is out of balance.
The thing that spooks me about the offense is just the way Tristan Wirfs and Graham Barton have looked the last couple weeks. That's got me, you know, we're arguably the best left tackle in the game is suddenly looking pedestrian.
Steve, this New England game, not that they're bad. You know, Vrabel's doing a hell of a job. They're 4-0 on the road, Lee. You would have told me that before the season. I would have said that's not happening.
Real quick, Bijan Robinson yesterday was 12 rushes, 46 yards on the ground.
That's, I think, 2 weeks in a row he's done nothing. Steve, the importance, we'll talk about it during the week, Lee, but the importance of this New England game, because are they going to go into Buffalo and beat the Bills?
I don't think so.
You know, unless the Bills, lay down, that's going to be hard. I mean, I saw them against the Chiefs last night. Buffalo looked good.
They did.
They outplayed Kansas City. They deserved to win that game. Cook is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, nobody runs on the Bucs. I understand that. But Cook's really good.
It all comes back to who's available, right? And it's really, really the theme of what we were talking about here. Sean brought it up a couple of times. He said, you want me to answer that without knowing who's playing? We don't know who's playing out there because it's not the Bucks. If they don't have more of these guys.
If Irving's not back for the New England game, well, what the hell's going on? I mean, what's going on with this guy?
It would be his fifth missed game with a bye week in between.
Wow, 6 weeks.
Is the injury that bad?
Usually 6 weeks of broken bone, isn't it? I mean, seriously.
You know, Evans is coming back supposedly after 8 weeks.
Usually 6 weeks, they put you on IR.
Yeah.
So that's really the big point, Steve. So it's challenging, Sage. Plenty to talk about this week.
By the way, real quick, to that point, you know, Steve and I get a lot of feedback on Twitter. You know, what's going on with Godwin? What's going on with Irving, et cetera, et cetera?
Gedeky, yeah.
Yeah, Gedeky too. And I always reply to them, it can't be too bad because they're not on IR. So that tells me the Bucks think they're within range of playing. Otherwise, they'd be on IR. And Gedeky is on IR, but Godwin is not. Bucky Irving is not. So that tells me the Bucks think that they're within range of playing.
Hey, Lee, one more point about the, I wouldn't say stagnant offense, but a struggling offense, Lee. The New Orleans game, they won the game. They scored 2. They had 4 takeaways in that game and still couldn't put that much up against the Saints. So that's a little trouble.
I know.
Yeah, a defensive touchdown.
Quickly, Ira, I got apologies. I get too freaked out about
that. I love it, Lee. I love the passion.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I got to be
rude. It's a hell of a debate. It's a great debate.
It is a fun debate. Yeah, the part of the debate that makes me a little nuts, I get that Todd Bowles doesn't use these guys the way traditional coaches do.
Right.
And
that part is Lee's right about.
And Larry Foote himself said at the podium, everybody can see it on YouTube, Hassan Reddick doesn't like that role. He doesn't like doing it.
Now, he didn't know that's how he's going to be used? Come on.
He knew that coming in.
Yeah.
And whatever. But something more is going on there. But I still say, look, you get a better guy when he's rushing. I'd rather have the better guy rushing, you know? It is a wacky debate. But Todd Bowles, clearly, what's not debatable is if you listen to Todd Bowles on that last podcast, he sort of makes it clear, I'm not worried about the edge rush because it's not as important as it used to be. And that's the problem. Or a problem. All right, Sage, look, we'll be back later in the week. Plenty to jump onto here. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Get there first, immediately. Just get there now and understand what they do so you are aware of all their services, fire, flood, mold, storm damage, and you know who to call 24/7.
And just to make everybody's day that's listening to this podcast, I'm getting an MRI on my prostate this week.
And thanks to Bill Curry Ford. I'm not laughing at you, Ira, but the timing there is fantastic.
Yeah.
Bill Curry Ford.
Out of the blue.
BillCurryFord.com. Great to be.